welcome everybody to the Side Quest. My voice is like totally deep this time. This is pretty cool. Your weekly journey into video games and apparently alcohol, as both Aaron and I are really diving into some of Grandpa's closet of fun. That sounded really bad, didn't it? I'm Dolly Domofsky. Joining me is Aaron Kelly.
Hey, what's up?
It's just the two of us again. That's just total. That's fine.
You want to start with a story?
Start with the story.
So I got two. Do you want a D&D story or do you want a League of Legends story?
Start with the D&D and then we'll work into League of Legends, because everything kind of starts from D&D anyways.
All right. So I have a younger sister. We don't really talk that much. She lives on literally the opposite side of the continent. She texted me at like 2 in the morning the other day and she goes, "Hey, you play D&D, right?" And I go,
"You heard of this D&D stuff, right?"
I go, yeah. She goes, "Do you play a lot?" I'm like, "I mean, I've been playing in a regular game for like 3 years. Why?" She goes, "Oh, because I'm just getting into it. I started reading this one module, and my friends tried to get a game, but the DM sucked, and he deleted the whole thing. And anyway, and so we're talking for a bit, and we keep talking. And finally, I go, What made this happen? Like, why are you into D&D? And she goes, "Well, I started listening to podcasts at my job." And she starts naming them off, and, you know, some of the big ones. Like, and then she goes, "And I listened to this one, my favorite one's this one called Drunks and Dragons." And I go, "Hold on a minute, that sounds familiar. Tap, tap, tap on Twitter. Like, I know these guys."
Yeah.
Text her that. She goes, "What?" I'm like, "Yeah, I've known those guys for like 10, 12 years. We all came up at the same time. We were all in try to explain that to her and stop. I'm like, "Anyway, it doesn't matter. I know them." She's like, "What do you mean you know them?" I'm like, "Yeah, like we all know each other." And she's like, "That's fucking unbelievable." Like, blew her fucking mind. She's like, I can't believe it. I can't believe you know them, but they're so funny." I'm like, "What are you trying to say?"
You're not. I had a similar thing happen to me. I was at work one day and I was chatting with my director about something. He listens to a lot of podcasts, so I listen to a lot of podcasts. We kind of compare notes on podcasts and stuff. We're talking about something, and he goes, "Yeah, I've been there's one podcast that I absolutely love, and my wife and I were talking about, you know, some of the crazy medical stuff." He says, "Yeah, it's these guys and hey, this dude and his wife, and actually he does a bunch like a podcast with his brother on the other side." I'm like, "What's the name of the podcast?" He says, "Yeah, it's called, I think it's called Sawbones." I'm like, "Yeah?" He's like, "Yeah." And he's like, "Their other show is my brother. I go, my brother. And he goes, "Oh, you've heard of it." I go, "Heard of it." Like, yeah, I know. I've known those guys for the longest time. I've known them for like 12 years, 10, 12 years now.
Yep.
"What do you mean?" I'm like, "Yeah, you know, we've hung out several times. We've chatted. They've been on my podcast." He's like, "Really?" I go, "Yeah, they're all cool dudes." So that's pretty funny. My own director, he's like, "But they're huge." I'm like, "Yeah, what are you trying to say? But they're huge. What are you trying to say that I'm?"
Yep. Yeah.
But I'm tied here designing car interior. So there, they can't say that.
Yeah, she was like, "But they're so famous." I'm like, "Are they?" Tap, tap, tap. "Oh, I guess they got like 10,000, 13,000 Twitter followers." Awesome. Like, "Yeah, that seems big. I guess their show's really good. Like, it's got rave reviews." I'm like, "That's cool." "Yeah, no, weird." She's like,
That's funny.
She's like, "That's so weird. Do all you nerds know each other?" I'm like, "Yeah, kinda." I'm like, if one of us doesn't know somebody personally, we're only like one degree away from anybody else in the industry.
Yep. You are, Aaron, you are one degree away from George R. R. Martin.
Basically. Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
I've interviewed him twice now.
I have been on the podcast.
Or is that 2 degrees? That 2 degrees. I don't know, 2 degrees.
Whatever. I think that's 1 degree because it's one to you and then one to him, right?
I don't even know how it is.
I don't know how to count it. Whatever. I've been on the podcast that he was on, I think, right? You interviewed him for this.
Yeah, we interviewed him for this. We may have had you on. I know Steven and Sean were on it. And I had those. And then,
I don't know. Because you had a Game of Thrones podcast, right?
Yeah, we had a Game of Thrones podcast. We've had a bunch of Game of Thrones podcasts.
I was never on the Game of Thrones podcast. Like, I was on the Doctor Who podcast.
Yeah, you were on the Doctor Who podcast. That's true. Yeah, that's another one. I want to get him on the Doctor Who podcast if I can. But it was a fun podcast. Yeah, it's amazing. We geeks are very well connected, apparently.
Yeah.
We all know. So what's your League of Legends one now?
So League of Legends story is I'm doing work the other day, and bling, email notification. Mm-hmm. I go, oh, wonder what that is. And it's an email from Riot Games. Riot Points purchase receipt. Thank you for your order, Scratty Bones. You have bought 2,800 Riot Points. You paid $20. Transaction, date, payment instrument, PayPal. I don't have anything connected to my PayPal. I don't have any money in it, so it's not my money being spent.
Okay.
But I'm like, oh, my account's been hacked. So I submit a ticket. So I get that receipt, and then 20 minutes later, I get a password change thing, but it's my email.
Hmm.
So I don't click it, which means whoever has my account can't change the information. So I submit a ticket. Hey, Riot Support. I'm getting some charges on my account. I think it might be hacked. It looks like the name has been changed because it shows me the username and it's not my username anymore. So the summoner name has been changed, but it's still my email, but it's from the United Kingdom. So I'm like, anyway, blah, blah, blah. I hear the transaction IDs. And then I don't hear anything for a couple days. I get two more purchase receipts for varying amounts of Riot Points. And then I get an email back from the support saying, hey, we looked into it. It seems like you're totally right. Your email's been hacked, or your account's been hacked. We're going to shut it off, and we're going to send you a pet thing reset and then follow these steps to secure your account. We're going to transfer it back from EU West to North America, because that's where you are. I said, that's all great. In the middle of this, they say, unfortunately, the way we changed our name system, so you have to have a new name. You can't just use Scratty Bones, because it's, even though it's been changed, it's still registered, and it has to be unique, blah, blah, blah. I said, all right, here's a list. I don't care what you change it to, because I don't really play anymore, but whatever. In the middle of this, the email thread with the support guys opens up with a new message. I can't see the email it's from because it's through the support, but it's registered to my email, which means it was made on my account. Mm-hmm. And it's this other dude who has emailed a support ticket saying, hey, just wondering why my account has been locked, lol. I'm not a hacker / scripter, so I don't know what suspicious activity there is. I've not even played LOL for close to 4 years and even more on this account. I've transferred to EU West for NA as I am living in the UK. And more information required to get my account unblocked. My name is Tom Tazelar. However, I do not have access to my old email and have it for some time, as it is currently and has been for some time locked due to me making stupid security questions when I was young, frowny face period.
Oh, my God.
So I just responded to the thread because I assumed they can't. Maybe he did see it. I just responded to the thread and I said, yeah, whatever email submitted this ticket, if you guys know who this guy is, like, this is the hacker, so go nuts. And then a couple of minutes later, they said, hey, thanks for letting us know. Anyway, here's the reset thing. So now I have my account back. But
that's amazing.
Yeah, isn't that wild?
That's so wild. That's so. Did I ever tell you about the time that I got hacked? I think I did to the K-Swiss account.
I don't think I've heard the story.
Oh, so I was I created a K-Swiss, the shoe company account, a long time ago. I was going to order some shoes like 3-4 years ago and never did anything with it. Never put my credit card or anything in there. Just put my address. And I don't even think I put my phone number in there. Anyway, so like last summer around this time, I thought, you know, there's a pair of shoes that are in my cases. I'm like, let me actually order these shoes. I hop on there and I'm getting ready to hit the order button. I was getting ready to put my credit card in there. Go through PayPal. And I look, it said the address was totally not my address. The address was like something in Utah. I'm like, Utah? That's not my address. And I scroll through a little bit. It's my email address, but it's a completely different home address. And it's a completely different phone number. So now I'm like, well, this is kind of weird. My account has been hacked. Probably because my account was, I had an older password. And it's one of those things that, you know, one of the many times passwords have been hacked and shit. So I just never changed the password on this account. I'm like, well, I'm going to report this. I go, but before I report it, I got to dig around and find out who this dude is that hacked me. And I put the phone number in there, and I couldn't find the phone number, and nothing was lining up. The phone number I did find, the area code was for, like, Washington, D.C. or Maryland or something. I'm like, yeah, Maryland, and the shipping address is Utah. I'm like, something doesn't quite line up. And I was just about ready to hit the send button on the email to K-Swiss when I thought, one last thing. I'm going to put that phone number into Facebook and see if it pops up anything. Because people put their phone numbers in Facebook when they're downloading the app. Put the phone number in there. Surprise, it takes me to a photographer's webpage. I'm like, well, this is kind of weird. A photographer, it's like an actual photographer who does a lot of like hip hop photography and for like bands and stuff in Maryland. I'm like, well, this is kind of weird. You know, this is wild. I'm like, but again, it could be just some weird thing. So I scroll down the page and I'm just about ready to give up. But then I see one more post, like the whole page was just photographs that the dude was taking and stuff like that. Never saw the guy's name. And I'm just about ready to log off. But then I see one last post from some lady that says, so proud of my nephew, such and such, with his name, for creating this photography company. I'm like, oh, she just outed her nephew. This yeah. is, you know, I'm like, okay, I got the link. So I clicked on her name, went through there, found the nephew, I managed to find his information just through Facebook. This is just a total cursory look. Found out who his girlfriend was. His girlfriend lives in Utah, and he had just moved to Utah. He was either living at his girlfriend's house or something, whatever he was doing. He was having shoes and other products. It seemed like it. He's having a bunch of stuff delivered to his girlfriend's house. And all this was just a free search, you know, a couple of free searches on like on Google and on Facebook. And so now I had the dude's name. I had his phone number. I had his home address. I had his email address because I was able to find that through Facebook, again, through a super quick check. And I had information on his family, his friends, his girlfriend, who he lives with, when his next gigs are happening, because it was linked to his photography Facebook page.
Wow.
And I'm like, wow, I could, if I was a jerk, I could completely ruin this dude's life because he hacked into my account. I mean, you know, an eye for an eye type of thing. I haven't done anything with it. I was very, still contemplating sending one of those bag of dicks to him, but you can order those bag of dicks online and they'll anonymously drop it off. It's like a bag of candy dicks or something like that. So I was thinking about doing that or just ordering a bunch of pizza, like 20 pizzas and having them sent to his house. But like nasty pizzas, not just like pizza with pepperoni, but like load up one pizza with just anchovies and mustard. Give me a pizza with ranch dressing and like turkey and salami. And you know, so I was gonna send some shitty shit over there, but I opted not to. I'm like, you know, I'm actually gonna be a good person. So I deleted all his information out of my account, changed the password, and that was that. Didn't report him yet. I'm still keeping his name and his info in my back pocket for the one day where I will enact my revenge on the poor dude.
Just in case.
Just in case I ever get a wild streak in me. But
yep.
That's crazy. Yep. Fucking hackers, everybody. Fucking hackers. Anyways. Let's get on the subject of other video games, since you did leverage, you know, leap off the League of Legends stuff there.
Yeah, well, I mean, I could go from League of Legends to another MOBA.
Oh, let's do it.
Sort of. Mm-hmm. I started playing Dota Auto Chess.
Oh, okay. All right.
I caved in. I started playing.
And?
It's really addictive.
Is it?
Yeah. So way back in the day, when I was still playing a lot of StarCraft 2, there was an arcade game called Squad TD. I think I've talked about this on the show before. And I used to play that game like all the time, to the point where my friend and I, we both played it, we'd be sitting here with like notebooks, like pen and paper, like scratching out strategies for the game. Like we just got way addicted to it. So anyway, I've been hearing about Auto Chess and thinking about it, and I've been looking at videos going like, this looks kind of like that. And then I was watching a streamer yesterday who was playing Auto Chess randomly, and I was like, I was just watching him play, and he's a Battle Royale streamer, but he wasn't playing a Battle Royale, so he had no viewers, but I was watching, which means every time I asked a question, like, I'm like the only person talking, so he's just answering like questions about the game and stuff. So I'm watching him play and asking questions and like teaching myself from his stream how to play the game. And I'm like, oh, yeah, this seems pretty fun. I'm going to install it. Fuck it. So I installed it and started playing it, like, late last night. Played it all day at work today. I've been playing it since I got home from work. I just finished in third place for the first time.
Nice.
So I haven't won yet, but top three is enough to get promoted. Like, I play super highly because, like, I had the barest knowledge of what I was doing instead of just floundering. Lost a bunch of matches, so I got demoted and then got promoted again. So it's weird, but that game's really addictive, man.
That's pretty. I never got into it, but I know so many people that are like just totally addicted to it. It does seem like it could be kind of my thing, though.
Well, it's cool because it's essentially it's like an active idle game because there's like every 30 seconds in between rounds, there's like 30 seconds for you to do like one of three things. You can level your horse up. You can buy units and you can place units. And that's basically it. And then after those 30 seconds are up, you don't touch the game. It plays itself out. So it's kind of an idle game. I was just watched a movie while I was playing it, and the only guy I got to look at it like every little bit. It's like, oh, click, click, click. All right, back to the movie. So, but yeah, like I'm not a Dota person. Like I played something like 80 hours of Dota 2, and it just never clicked with me, which is an insane thing to say with that amount of time, but that's kind of the thing with MOBAs. Like I played just enough to go, nah, it's not really my thing. But Auto Chess is really good.
That is, I mean, isn't Valve looking to make their own like actual spin-off real Dota Chess game? Isn't that something that I read a little while back?
Uh-huh. They're making Auto Chess. Yeah. They're making this as a game. They've got like some sort of weird pseudo partnership with the guy who made the mod. Where they're making a mobile game of it as a Valve game and cross promoting his mod in their mobile game, telling people to go like download the Dota 2 client and play the original or whatever. So it's all weird, but yeah, it's great. Like there's so many people playing that it takes longer to load the mod up than it does to fill a lobby. Like you click find a match and it's like, bam, lobby's full. And then it's loading.
Wow.
Yeah. You don't really see that too often outside of like brand new games. You know what I mean? Like, but yeah.
they dropped Artifact and now they're into chess, from card games to chess games.
Yeah. Well, Artifact didn't do super well and that thing's dead now. So.
Anything else you've been playing?
A little bit of Final Fantasy 14.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I saw you and John were chatting about that on the Twitters.
Yeah, we had a big old conversation about it. I got back. I subscribed, like, I think I had subscribed, like, the day before we recorded last week and then didn't turn it on. And then my guild in the game was like, hey, did you resubscribe? Because I logged in for, like, a second.
You're like, oops.
I logged in for, like, a second when I resubscribed and then went, nah, and logged out. But you can see when somebody's logged in the game. There's like a last logged in however many days ago, and it was like 6 hours for me. And they're like, hey, did you resubscribe? Because we need a healer. We're doing content. I was like, oh, I don't remember how to play. They're like, nah, it'll be fine. So
you'll be all right. Yeah, there's that big rumor that's coming to Switch. Well, they want to bring it to Switch, so we'll see if it actually makes it to the console. But
I mean, that would be cool. That game came out in 2013.
It was a PS. It came out as a PS4 and PC game, right? Not PS3,
correct? It was on PS3.
Was it on PS3?
I'm pretty sure it was on PS3. I don't think the newest. I think it's been since been discontinued on PS3 since the expansions have come out. But I'm pretty sure it was on PS3.
It is. Oh, you're right. PlayStation 4, PlayStation 3. Okay. Good call. Good call.
Yeah. But yeah. So it's possible. I've been playing those.
I do want to get into Final Fantasy 14. It does seem like, you know, it definitely seems like my jam. And they really redid that game after they relaunched it, and then they've been. It almost feels like soft relaunches the entire length of the game's lifespan. I mean, they're still pushing. They're not pushing Final Fantasy 11. That thing has been almost 20 years, something dumb like that. But.
I think Final Fantasy XI just passed the mark, I think, last year, where they're no longer making new content for it.
Yeah. I think we talked about that last week.
Yeah. Probably.
But all right. I've just still plowing through Dragon Ball Z. I like saying that because I know Ryan Gang gets pissed off at me.
Dragon Ball Fighters.
And I am just unlocking some of the characters, and that's basically my only goal. That should be tidied up here in the next day or so. There's like these, the way that, have you played the game?
Dragon Ball FighterZ? No. Yeah.
No, you haven't?
No, I haven't had the chance yet. Because when it came out, I hadn't yet upgraded my PC, and I was pretty confident I couldn't run it on PC.
Sure.
And I don't have PS Plus.
Okay.
So if I was going to play a fighting, it would be to play with people. Uh-huh. That's why I own most of my fighting games on PC, and I knew it wouldn't run, so I never bought it. And then
you don't have PSN. You don't have like PlayStation Online.
No, God.
Oh,
no.
Really? Oh, shit, I thought you did.
I had been sitting on like a 2-week trial forever that I used when Red Dead came out because I wanted to try the online, and that was a waste.
Yeah, we're moving. I think there's only one or two podcasts left after this one in this house. You guys on the stream, if you're watching this, say goodbye to that those walls, these doors, because all this is changing. We're gonna be moving out of this house. So, but we're moving in with my parents for a couple months until our new house is finished being built. And I don't know how strong their Wi-Fi is. I don't even know what my online gaming is going to be like. I don't know what the quality of our streams are going to be like. I might have to find a, you know, stream from my cell phone for our podcast, but we'll figure it out. I'll probably wait to get into 14 until after all that stuff. But then I fall right into like September, which is just, it's going to be insane with everything that's already been announced and going to be announced. So we'll see. But I have been playing, Dragon Ball FighterZ, finishing that up. It's kind of, for the single player story, for anybody that hasn't played it, it's set up in like these three chapters, I guess. There's the main hero arc, which is the majority of the game. I think it's like 40 or 50% of the game. And then you have the enemies arc. Once you finish the main hero arc, the enemies arc opens up and you can start playing as some of the Dragon Ball Z bad dudes. And then it opens up sort of the final arc, which is the hardest arc. And they're all like slight variations of the plot and the story with a few other cinematics in there. So as you're kind of replaying the same game three times in a row. But I'm just about done with the second arc. And they're about, I'd say probably about 3 hours per arc. So it's not super long. It's just, I like to mess around with it. Playing that, and then just started playing Gato Roboto, which is another Switch Metroidvania. I think there's 1,000 of those right now. But it's a Devolver Digital Jam, and it's a black and white, looks like a Game Boy game. It's a black and white Metroidvania where you take on the role of a cat. You're a cat that's crash-landed on a planet, and you're being guided by your cat owner, I guess. The human telling you where to go, but you pick up a mech suit at like very early, like the first like 20 seconds in the game, you get a mech suit, and then you can fire missiles and do all kinds of shit. But it's a Metroidvania style game that's very short. It's probably, from everybody's telling me, it's only like a couple hours long at most, but it's like the perfect length of a game of this style. And it's got a lot of great, I'm literally only 20 minutes into it, and I'm loving every second of it. There's tons to do. Tons of exploration. It doesn't feel like another Metroidvania. It's actually kind of fresh for how silly and simple it is. So yeah, Gato Roboto. I'm really digging it. And good job to Devolver Digital for essentially being like one of the strongest supporters of the Switch in terms of like indies and indie publishers, but constantly pumping out great games. They're like a quirky indie company. What do they call it? Triple I. For that level of stuff, that's like the stupid way to pick. But they're a really great publisher for what they put out, and there's a lot of great stuff. So,
well, Devolver's nice because it seems like they know how to do it. You know what I mean? Like, there's the game side of things, which is, you know, obviously a necessity, but they really, really nail like the PR side of things, mm-hmm. like the messaging. Like they just got it.
Yeah, and it's a lot of great folks work over there, and they're sort of like the rogue nation of publishers, because at E3, they're never at E3 proper because it costs so fucking much to rent a booth space. Instead, they'll literally rent the Buffalo Wild or the Hooters parking lot across the street from the convention center, set up a couple tents and a couple trailers and for like next to nothing. And they'll bring people over there. And it's great because you'll walk out of the convention center and there's a big Devolver Digital area right across the street for like a third of the price. So yeah, very cool stuff. I'm loving it. There's a sale going on right now. I think it might be until tomorrow, went Thursday. Don't quote me on it, but their 10th anniversary birthday sale on a bunch of platforms, and they got some great games. It's funny because I was going through the list. I'm like, okay, I'm going to buy this game. Wait, already own it. Going to buy this. Nope, already own that. Going to buy that. Nope, already own that. So that's shows you quality when you buy so many of the games that it's not, the sale actually isn't even worth it anymore because you've owned everything that that is on sale. So Gato Roboto, check it out. Check it out. And I've been playing Just Shapes and Beats again, which I fucking love that game. Just such a simple but yet great music rhythm game. And they just announced, I think the hard mode comes out, is at the end of this week for the PS4 and Switch and PC. And then they have a Shovel Knight version or a DLC coming out pretty soon or at some point this year, I think they said. So that'll be pretty neat as well. But yes, I've been playing those just in the lead up to E3 because it's a fucking week already, dude. It is. We are in E3. Happy E3. The second week of E3. Kind of feels like it.
Next week, man. It's next week, right?
E3 is next week, but all the announcements last week and this week, and there's a bunch of shit happening the rest of this week. Yeah. We hope you like video games, basically.
Yep.
But let's get into some news, some pre E3 news. Sounds good.
Yeah, I got a list of things here. I think you got some stuff too, don't you?
Yeah, a couple things.
I did not. I'm going to start this by saying I didn't watch the Pokemon Direct. So if you want
to handle that, I'll dive into that right now.
Hit that shit first.
So Pokemon Direct, that was today. Finally gave the info on Pokemon. Holy shit! Now I want to play that game. It's the Porky Pig collectible Porky Pig version. Pokemon, you get bacon instead of Pokemon. Pokemon Sword and Shield. They gave the November 15th release date, so it is coming this year. But really, the big news is that there's for the first time in the series, like outside of Pokemon Go, of course, they're gonna have raids. They're calling them, I think they're calling them raid battles, max raid battles.
This is a single player game, isn't it?
It's a single player game, but raids take place with four players. So you can actually link up, via wireless or, locally. So they're giving that option, but, it's an open world for the first time Pokemon is an open world game, which is pretty cool. So I don't know how they're going to work. Maybe you get to the raid. Essentially the raids appear as sort of these beams of light. In the open world, and the raid battles are against these new evolution or variation Pokemon called Dynamax Pokemon, which are giant like kaiju versions of Pokemon. So you'll get like a ginormous Pikachu or Raichu, and I think they showed a massive Gyarados and a massive Clefairy. So these giant Pokemon, which you battle, but then you can also capture. And use those in the game's stadium battles. So you can find that information on cyclist.com.
So basically, it's versions of Pokemon which in no way, shape, or form obey the square cube law?
Yes, exactly. Yeah. you want to explain that for the folks while I'm taking a sip?
Yeah. Well, in D&D terms, in nerd terms, the square cube law is basically the thing that says things of certain size can't survive under their own weight and therefore could move. Mm-hmm. So like Godzilla as a giant monster realistically should collapse under its own weight and like break it, both of his legs and just be stuck to the ground, like totally busted.
Yep. I think that's why elephants can only get to a certain size and why the giraffe's bodies are only a certain size. Their necks are longer, but humans can only get so tall before they can't walk.
Tell us to my genetics.
Yep. Yeah, except for you, Aaron. But so they're going to have four-player raid battles to capture these Dynamax. You can use those Dynamax beasts in the arena battles, which are the gym battles, but in like this giant arena setting. So, that's kind of a cool thing that they're really kind of pushing this four-player raid system and an open world. So pretty awesome. And like I said, November 15th, so that's coming up. But this is the I never really got into Pokemon. I think Pokemon Go was the first time I actually got into a Pokemon game, because you can't beat it. You just kind of open it, you play it for like 20 seconds, and you shut it. Capture a, you know, whatever, a tortoise or whatever. I don't know what other. And capture a Pikachu.
My experience with Pokemon Go is wildly different from people who actually play Pokemon Go, because
really?
I don't have a phone plan.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, you can. Yeah.
So my gameplay in Pokemon Go is limited to the area immediately within my Wi-Fi range, which is one Pokestop.
Oh, okay. Well, you have a Pokestop, so that works. You can still capture shit.
I caught a bunch of Tanglias, I think.
Yeah, yeah. My daughter has her phone is just Wi-Fi. I gave her one of my old cell phones. And she's already up to like level 15 or level 16 as a Pokemon trainer. And she just just works on Wi-Fi, and it's just the Pokemon that are in the area, and that's essentially it. Every time we go to a Pokestop, like if we go to a Starbucks, she just pops it out and hooks up to the Wi-Fi and captures a bunch of Pokemon there.
Yeah, that's not a thing here. There's no Starbucks.
Tim Hortons? You guys have a Tim Hortons?
There is, but they don't have free Wi-Fi.
Oh, that sucks. Yeah, we got
my store is like pretty close to the Tim Hortons, but all of those stores are on like a stretch of what is essentially an old highway. So there's no Pokemon there, because on the map, it's just a straight line with no buildings around it. So like in the town, there's Pokemon, but I can't reach them. And then up by my, and then up by like my store.
Just out of reach.
Yeah, and then up by my store, it's like a fucking wasteland. So I'll sit there when I was still trying to play it. Like I'll sit there with my phone and like put my thumb over the antenna, or like shake it a bunch, because then my dude would like run because the GPS would fuck up.
Oh yeah.
And I'd be like, oh, hit the button. But nah.
I would get the steps from Pokemon, because I'd leave my phone out and I'd turn on Pokemon Go, and the guy would like run left and right because the GPS was fucked up.
Oh yeah.
So you're getting all this, like all these extra steps, and the thing is just sitting on your table. So yeah, this looks like an actual, and I played Pokemon Let's Go Pikachu and Let's Go Eevee. I think Pikachu is the one I played, and it was fine, but this looks like an actual Pokemon game that I'll play, because it kind of reminds me of an open world RPG instead of just a Pokemon game. So yeah, count me in. I'm really kind of interested in this, but I think that'll be a big thing for Nintendo. But again, it's indicative. They announced this before E3, and they had their Mario Maker 2 thing last week before E3, and they did this whole indie thing in Japan before E3. So they're gearing up for kind of a bigger E3, I think, later on. So yeah, anyway, that's the Pokemon news.
Yeah.
So what else we got?
Looking at my list here.
List. Just
okay. Here's a weird one that I included specifically because it interests me, and otherwise I maybe wouldn't include it. There's a third Vampire the Masquerade game that's been announced. So this is called Vampire the Masquerade Coteries of New York, and apparently it's going to be a Telltale style like story based game, and it's going to have like weird lore tie-ins where like all of the different endings that you can make in the game are going to be included lore wise in the main Vampire the Masquerade like pen and paper lore. But the reason that I found it funny enough to include is because the developer that is attached to the game is basically an unknown developer. They have one project that I could find under their belt, and it's an unfinished early access like strategy game or something. And the previous Vampire the Masquerade game that got announced is from a developer who makes these type of games.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So I was just like, why not? That's so weird. But yeah, so there's three Vampire the Masquerade games all announced. This one's coming out this year. The next ones are coming out next year.
Is this the one coming out to Switch as well as like PC or?
That sounds right.
Okay.
It's on Steam for sure, because that's where I saw it.
Sure. Epic Games Store. Yeah. World premiere.
Yeah, that just blows my mind. There's, you know, there hasn't really been a vampire game since, like, Bloodlines.
And then now there's a bunch.
Which was 2003, I think?
Something like that, yeah.
2006, something like that? But yeah. So anyway, there's that.
Who makes the vampire games?
The company is called White Wolf.
Who is it White Wolf that publishes them, or somebody else?
Paradox?
Oh, okay. All right. I guess when you get that license, you just start unloading.
Cranking it out. Yeah. I want to say it's Paradox, but.
Cranking it out. That sounded good. not. What else you got?
Yeah, it's Paradox. Here's just a little John Vignacchi. He has joined Nintendo of America.
That's a wild one, because that was John's very well known for being the guy at Disney for Disney Infinity, and then he bounced around. I think he bounced a couple other places, and now he's.
I think he was a Gearbox. Way back in the day, he was a Midway.
We all know him from those great giant bomb casts.
Very much so.
Yeah.
So yeah, congrats to Johnny V. And all I could think when, because on Twitter, the lead up to this announcement, like he was teasing it and couldn't really say anything, and then he said, "I'm joining Nintendo," and all I was like. All right, I get it. You know, Doug Bowser took over from Reggie. Reggie left, and it's like, well, maybe Bowser's not the on-camera personality, the boisterous, fun-loving dude.
Johnny V. Wow, that's interesting. Yeah, I can see Johnny V on the. Wonder if he's going to be on the Nintendo's Direct next week. That'll be pretty funny.
I don't know, but I mean, if you want,
yeah.
I mean, I think Johnny V is well known.
Yeah, he could be very good. I mean, he's a really people like him from just the business side of things. He definitely knew what he was. What he was doing, so
he seems like genuinely one of the nicest people on camera I think I've ever seen. Like, there's a lot of in the games industry. There's a lot of people like certainly like me with like very sarcastic, biting cynicism, and some of it's affected and some of it's not. But Johnny just seems like a very nice, very happy guy. So it seems like a good fit with Nintendo, and hopefully that doesn't spell out. The end of Nintendo games, like it did
Disney, and all the Gearbox stuff lately too.
Yeah.
So.
Anyway, congrats, Johnny. I got a bunch of E3 stuff here.
Do it.
Okay, I'll just start from the bottom. Rocksteady not going to be at E3.
Yep.
Watchdog Legion got confirmed
because it got leaked.
And then the Watchdog's Twitter account, which is now Watchdog's game. Mm-hmm. Yeah, changed their name to Legion. They got like a floating gif.
They're like, fuck it.
And their tweet said, "God save the NPCs." CUD3. So that's basically confirming it's going to be set in London, like everybody thought,
and confirming that it's going to be able to jump into the bodies of any NPC.
Yep, just like Super Hot.
Mm-hmm.
What else I got? It was a very loud car. Xbox Game Pass for PC is a good thing. It's launching with a 100 game library, and it's apparently going to have discounts on the Microsoft Store app, which include 20% discounts for 20% discounts for purchasing any game in the library, and 10% discounts for DLC and add-ons for those games. And they're reporting there will be more details at E3. Along with that. Xbox gamer tags are being reported, are switching to a more Discord-like format, which is like a very technical way to say that your username will just have a bunch of numbers after it, so unique usernames aren't going to be a problem anymore. I only really included this just because we had talked about Windows going after Discord.
Yeah, we did. I think that was that was one of the rumors. I'm going to publish our prediction list here.
Nice.
The next day or so.
And the last big thing I have on here is remember like 3 weeks ago, I think it was, Mark Cerny was out there. Maybe it was longer than 3 weeks ago. Cerny was out there going like, "Hey, here's going to be the specs on the PS5. And everybody was like, "So wait, you're confirming the PlayStation 5? And they were like, "No, but here are the specs." So this is a report. That I picked up by Eddie McCooch at GameSpot, who is reporting on an interview that happened with CNET, which is GameSpot's sister site, where they talked about a bunch of features that the PlayStation 5 is going to have, including cross-generational play. And the way they explain that is like if you start up Last of Us 2 on the PlayStation 4, because we're all going to keep pretending that that's still coming out for the PlayStation 4. And then by the PS5 version, your save carries over. And apparently it goes back and forth, so you could then play on PS5 for a while and then go back to PS4 and keep playing. What they didn't explain was whether... So they also said that friends list will exist across both consoles, so anything your friends list on PS4 you'll have on PS5, vice versa. They didn't say whether or not that extends to server architecture. So, like, if I'm playing, say, Rocket League on PS4, am I playing in the same games as people on the PS5?
Oh, okay, I get it. Yeah.
So, I would optimistically say yes, but I'm not sure. And then they also clarified that they still have not confirmed that this is the PlayStation 5.
They'll call it the PS5.
I mean, they have to.
The PlayStation Infinite.
That's basically it. There's a bunch of other little stuff, like a bunch of, like, you know.
Wait, that's it for your news?
Yeah, I kind of filtered out to the big stories for the most part, because, like, all the E3 stuff is like, well, I mean, is this really news? You know what I mean? Like, oh, blah, 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 E3.
You know? All right, well, I'll throw a couple more in there then.
All right, I'll tell you what. You hit me up with the ones you got, and I will tell you if I axe them, and then we will be able to
sounds good.
Finally get some quality control.
Apple bringing PS4 and Xbox One controllers to iOS.
Yeah, I axed it.
All right. Dragon.
No, I didn't go for it. It's just like.
Yeah, during the Worldwide Developer Conference keynote, Apple said that it will finally allow, via Bluetooth, the Xbox One and the PlayStation 4's DualShock controllers on iOS and on tvOS. So when you're streaming your Xbox Game Pass or whatever, or your PlayStation Anywhere stuff, this could be or in a meeting or in the bathroom in the office, you can actually take a PS4 controller with you and play that way, which is better than playing with touchscreen control. So yeah, there you go.
I'll tell you why I removed this one. I thought it was interesting, and then I kind of thought about it, and I thought about Apple's history, and I was like, I bet that this launch is broken, and then they don't support it.
Possibly.
But the reason I was going to include it originally is because way back in the day, there's that iOS mobile game from Square, I think, called Dragalia Lost that everybody loves. That launched early in Canada.
The Nintendo one.
So that launched early in Canada because Canada is one of those countries that gets used as like a test bed for games. Mm-hmm. Like Canada and New Zealand, stuff like that. We'll get stuff early on mobile. So I played it and I said, yeah, this seems okay. I really wish I could play it with a controller because the touchscreen sucks.
Yeah. But well, hopefully this will work.
The flip side of that is it's like, well, now are those developers going to go back in and make controller support? Because like, it doesn't matter if you can use a controller on iOS if the things don't support the controller. But yeah. Anyway, go ahead.
Okay. Let's see here. As I shoot through the side questing news list here. Dragon Quest Walk was announced, which is like Pokemon Go with Dragon Quest. Oh. Did you have that one?
I did, and then I cut it because, I mean, everybody's only going to catch Metal Slimes.
Yeah, that's all everyone's ever going to go for is Metal Slimes or Metal King Slimes. Let's see here. So, I mentioned Just Shapes and Beats is getting a Shovel Knight collaboration. Mortal Kombat 11 is going to get Spawn as part of its season pass type of thing.
Do you have the other Mortal Kombat 11 story?
What's that? What was that one again? I remember this, yeah. Tell me about this one.
Man whose name I'm blanking on made a tweet saying that, alluding to something in Mortal Kombat 11, which means Ash from Evil Dead.
Yes, that's who it is. Yeah. Yeah.
I can't remember his name. I'm blanking on his name.
They mentioned that there's going to be two more characters that they hadn't announced yet. And so.
Bruce Campbell.
Yeah. He tweeted like a long time ago, Mortal Kombat stuff for Mortal Kombat 11, like way back when the game, before the game launched even. So then he's like, actually, no, I was just kidding. But by then it was too late. The internet knew. So that's kind of cool. Yeah. The actor who played Shang Tsung in the 1994 or 5 movie is playing Shang Tsung as part of the DLC here. So
that's cool. Pretty funny.
We talked about the Death Stranding craziness. Did you see Kojima's tweet?
Yes, and then I had that on the list, and then I cut it because I read it, and then I said, "Wow!"
I read it again, and I said,
"This is fucking nonsense."
Yeah, God bless Kojima. Yeah, read up on that; it's pretty funny. Shenmue 3 is delayed to November for anybody that cares about Shenmue 3. I'm sure somebody does.
Anybody who pre-ordered it?
Anybody who pre-ordered it? here's a good one. So Square Enix is going to have not only Final Fantasy VII, but also Avengers, which they announced. But now they're teasing a game called Outriders, which is going to be at E3 for another reveal. So that's something.
What's that? What do you think Outriders is a code name for a new Final Fantasy game?
I don't think so. It's Final Fantasy VIII. No, I think Outriders is a motorcycle version of the Bouncer.
Oh, buddy, I would play that.
Hell yeah, hell yeah.
I fucking loved the Bouncer.
The Bouncer was so underappreciated. So underappreciated. The Sega Genesis Mini announced at 42 full games. Oh, here's actually a good one. Square Enix dropped the soundtrack for every one of the mainline Final Fantasy games up on Apple Music and Spotify and a couple other things. So
I looked at that and then I didn't include it because I don't have either of those services. So yeah. Fuck them.
Well, Spotify you can get for free. So at least there's that.
I'm not sure you can in Canada.
Oh, you can't? Oh, I know you can in the U.S. You can just play the free version of Spotify.
Spotify.ca.
Yep.
Maybe I can get it for free. Are there ads on the free version?
There are. Yeah, there are ads. Yeah. Yep. You can make playlists, but you can't, everything plays at random. So it's not like, you know, and you'll get other songs mixed in.
Oh.
So perfect. Do it. Get it.
So it's like shit radio.
It's like shit radio. Yeah, exactly. Like you'll be listening to the Final Fantasy soundtrack. You'll get like a couple songs out of Final Fantasy VII, maybe get a song out of Final Fantasy XII, and then all of a sudden you'll get like Lil Jon mixed in. And then the possibly, oh, actually, you know, before you get to the biggest news of the week, a new Darksiders game was leaked by E3. So the E3 Coliseum, they mentioned Darksiders game. Then they promptly deleted it. Yep. Also, the Red Faction Evolution game was leaked and then promptly deleted.
I actually had that on the news report last week.
Yeah, yep.
And then didn't include it. I curate my list. I compile a massive list and then I pare it down to for time because there was one week I didn't do that and I think we went almost 3 hours.
Uh-huh.
Remember that week?
Yeah, that's true. Yep, I remember. Really, the biggest news of the week was the new Xbox-branded body wash.
That's coming. Oh, see, I was going to say the new... the biggest news of the week was the Blizzard stuff.
The Blizzard stuff, which was...
So there were two. Part one, which I didn't include because I don't really understand it because I'm not in France.
Mm-hmm.
But essentially, Game Workers Unite, which is the Game Workers Union people, released a statement saying that they are working with a union organization in France going after Blizzard because Blizzard fired a shitload of employees and then rehired roughly the same amount in the same positions in Ireland where it would be cheaper to maintain and hire them, which under French law is illegal.
Hmm.
So they're going after them. And then also at the same time, it came out that Blizzard had canceled a project they've been working on for 2 years.
Mm.
Which, you know, Blizzard doesn't really make a lot of games, so it's always kind of news when that happens. Last time Blizzard canceled a project they've been working on, Overwatch came out of the ruins of it.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah, I think it's... wasn't Blizzard working on that big MMO that was going to replace World of Warcraft and they canceled that?
That was Project Titan, which is what Titan. Overwatch came from.
Yeah, yeah.
Most of the characters in Overwatch were like originally assets from that MMO project.
That's all I had. Did we cover the Baldur's Gate 1 and 2 and those coming back? Icewind Dale, Planetscape, Neverwinter Nights.
We kind of, sort of, maybe mentioned it last week because of the Larian Studios thing, but we didn't talk about the actual releases.
Got it. Well, those are coming out so for consoles, so expect that, which is. Pretty cool for a lot of folks that missed those games the first time. And that's it. That's all I had.
Yeah. I had one more, but I deleted it because fuck it. But you know what? Why not?
Do it. We got time. Do it.
So Justin Roiland.
Yeah.
He's the creator of Rick and Morty and other fine properties, including...
the Trover game, which I'm reviewing.
So that's what this is about. I was trying to remember the name of the previous one.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, he released a statement on their website, their games website, squanchgames.com,
mm-hmm.
That they are not going to be dropping the price on Trover longer, and because all of their DLC is going to be free. So instead of dropping the price and then charging for DLC, they want to release the DLC for free and just keep charging full price for longer. And I thought that was maybe newsworthy, but then not really. But I think it's interesting because it'll be interesting to see, like, if it pans out.
Yeah,
like,
I'd be curious.
The whole reason prices drop is because sales drop, right?
Yep.
I don't really think, if it was me, I wouldn't really think that, like, sales drop because people... like, because people are like, well, I'm not going to get the DLC. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yep.
Like, I don't think DLC is really a big concern for people who buy a game. Like, they would normally buy a battle pass if they were really into the game. But, like, I tend not to buy games based on content that may or may not come out later. So I'm very interested to see if the sales of this game stay up at full price because people are like, oh, well, all the DLC is going to be free.
It's, I could imagine that the game stays up in price for a while until all that DLC drops. And then after that DLC drops, they start dropping that price.
Yeah.
Yeah, that seems more likely. But I'm curious what kind of DLC they'll have for this thing. So who knows? You know what? I did want to mention a couple quick things. The Destiny 2 stuff, the rumors that sort of broke out.
Yeah, the next expansion or whatever.
Yes. Their new expansion. And then the cross save that they're working on, supposedly. And then as well as it's going to be a Google Stadia launch title.
Yeah.
So that we'll find out tomorrow, on Thursday, I should say, depending on when I post this podcast. Because Google's having their Stadia event at like 12 p.m. Eastern, so noon on Thursday. And then right at 1 o'clock is Destiny 2. So expect that. There's probably some correlation there. Would probably not be surprised.
Might be something.
Might be something. Anyways, that's all I had.
Yeah, I don't think I had anything else.
Good times. It's E3 next week, dude. Holy shit.
Yeah, next week's gonna be weird.
Holy shit. Yeah, I'm. If you guys are interested, we're gonna be live streaming, live drinking the Xbox press conference. So we'll set up an event and just drink along with us. If you're not going, come hang out. Grab a little a shoddy shot.
I guess we should probably mention that too. The E3 2019, there's an event calendar floating around.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
So if you want to know exactly when things are and blah 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 blah, you can find that.
And SlugWeston.com, actually.
Yep.
Yep. We have all the press conferences. We have the party list if you're actually going to E3. We had even had the stream schedule for all the stuff happening this week, including stuff like the Beyond Good and Evil 2, which they said we're gonna drop some big news for Beyond Good and Evil 2 on Wednesday, June 5th. All right, cool. Let's check this out. And all they said was, "Here's an art gallery that we're working on." So, because they're not showcasing that game at E3, that game's never coming out. Sorry, guys. I think when it does come out, it'll be a completely different game. But that's neither here nor there. We will see you. That's it. You can find us at sidequesting.com. You can find me at Dolly Domofsky all over the place, all over your face, all over your ears. Where can we find you, Aaron?
You can find me on Twitch and Twitter at Scratty Bones.
I've
been debating streaming Final Fantasy 14, like just rolling a character and just playing through the whole game. I've also been debating just streaming auto chess because if I'm going to play it constantly, I might have it streaming at the same time.
That way, while you're learning, people can watch.
And watch me fail miserably at it. Yeah.
Yeah. Failure's good though. Excellent. Excellent. And yeah, we'll do a bunch of fun stuff for E3 next week. Subscribe. Smash that subscribe button, that like button. But yeah, no, stay tuned to SideQuesting. We're gonna have all the news. We're getting a slow trickle of stuff right now that's under NDA. Small stuff. So not like it's like, hey, we got some new headphones coming out, but expect a ton of news. I think it's been happening this week, but we got the Google Stadia stuff tomorrow, and we have, I think, THQ Nordic has a reveal on Friday.
Didn't they say they're working on like 13 games or something crazy?
Something crazy, but they have three games that they said they would reveal. Today was the SpongeBob SquarePants Battle for Bikini Bottom, which is a very underrated game. I know a lot of folks are like, well, that's a stupid game to announce. No, that was a really good game, really underrated. So surprisingly, interesting game. So they're remaking that for modern devices. And they got two more today or tomorrow and Friday, which for all intents and purposes, Darksiders,
yeah,
and the Red Faction. I think those are going to be the two games. So, which I'm totally cool with.
What do you play Trover on?
PS4, PSVR, PSVR. Yeah, I played it in it's. Read my preview until the review goes up, because the preview and the review are pretty accurate. The preview at PAX East is like the opening section of the PS of the final game. It's essentially the amount of you can start the game and it asks you if you want to have a lot of swearing or like minimal swearing. And of course, I put crank that fucker all the way up. So, but yeah, it's a crazy as fuck game. I don't know. It's fucked up. I love it.
Having seen pretty much nothing about that game, is it a lot of characters that sound vaguely like the character Morty from Rick and Morty because they're voiced by Justin Roiland?
Yep.
Delivering lines exactly the same way that he delivers all his lines, with a lot of stammering and stuttering, sounding very improv-y and off color. Yeah.
Yep. Yeah. That's it. Yep. So it's Rick and Morty without Rick and Morty characters, but it's totally Rick and Morty. It's hilarious. Yeah, that stammering, improvish style that he does so well. But yeah, I'm liking what I'm playing so far. The game is out, I believe. I think it came out like yesterday or last week. All right, we'll see you guys. We love you guys. Happy E3 week.
Send me an Oculus Quest, Facebook.